Episode number 8. Is it 8 or 9?
8.
8.
It's the last one.
Last one.
Yeah, I know. We've got lots of questions to get through today. So how are you, Mike? You all right?
Very well, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Jack, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
I'm glad you turned up today, by the way. Do you know why? Because now you're officially part of the Silt Fitness Therapy.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is.
So no longer are you a guest, you are just a regular now. All right. And Kate, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Darren.
First of all, how have you settled in all right?
Great. Jack, it's been a very busy week. We've had a lot of setting up to do, setting up the back room. I think Kate's sick to death of painting by now.
I've been designated decorator. Actually, I'm a bit of a control freak, so I've banned anyone else from joining in, really. So it's
Fabio tried, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, I banned him.
He came in early just to try and get a bit done and did it wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Fabio doesn't know what emulsion is.
He just steams ahead, bless him.
Do you know what we call it in Stoke? I'm from Stoke-on-Trent. Do you know what emulsion is called in Stoke?
What?
It's called wallop.
Wallop.
Have you ever have
wallop it
face,
on?
That was a picture there.
Did you just wallop it on?
Yeah. I like that better, to be honest.
It's called wallop. Yeah,
wallop. Some wallop on.
Yeah, that's a brilliant. Wallop going to the ceiling.
We did some of that. We did some walloping.
That's exactly what my folks would say. You haven't got a clue, have you?
A bit. No. Yeah, I get the gist of it. I've never heard of it before.
You're not a
decorator. I think it's because emulsion, or what we call is wallop. You just wallop it on, don't you?
Yeah.
You just put it in great big thick modes, don't you?
Yeah. That's what he did.
Can't believe it. Can't believe. That was a dig.
No, not at all. He did a fantastic job. He did. Bless him.
Thanks. We are talking about decorating on a fitness podcast.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, the room's done now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yes. It's awesome.
Open for business.
Yeah. Right, so we'll talk about that in a bit then, yeah?
Yeah.
We'll get in on it. Let's delve into some of these questions. So today, last time we did this, we put it out there, we asked people to get in touch with us because this is the final one, so we've covered a load of different topics. You can go back and listen to them on our website and share them wherever you want to share them. If you've got friends that are just starting the journey and all that kind of stuff to get fitter and healthier mentally and physically, all of the podcasts are there for you to listen to whenever you're ready for them. They're not going to disappear anywhere. But we have some interesting questions. So Mike, do you want to go first with some of yours?
Yeah.
That people have been in touch with to you about.
So the first one we have is, how quickly can I expect to see results?
You see, that's a good question because everybody wants it now.
Yeah. I think it's quite an open-ended question as well. I guess it depends on what your goals are, what you're looking to achieve, but are you at a gym? Are you trying to do it from home? You know, there's loads of different things. But I mean, in terms of how quick, say you were coming to a gym, say you were doing, you know, you're doing the group personal training sessions. I say in terms of physical changes, in terms of like appearance, probably might notice a few changes within the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say probably.
I think the initial thing you probably feel is you'd feel better, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's pretty quick, isn't that? It's like, you know, when you started training, yeah, and it was. What's the first thing that you felt?
Well, the first thing I felt was my clothes.
Feel of
your clothes.
Yeah.
And the way I held myself as well. So I wasn't, you know, and I noticed I wasn't out of breath all the time and all that kind of stuff. So them little changes made me go, ooh.
Yeah.
But I used to ask people around the office here at Silk Towers, I'd go, can you tell I've lost any weight? And they always would go, no, can't tell.
No, I think you notice it yourself first.
I see. Yeah. I think other people notice
Do
it on you first. Yeah. I think other people more. I suppose it depends on your personality, I guess, as well, doesn't it? Like, I think for some people that are quite hard on themselves, they might not notice anything quick, but other people will notice. You know, we've got a few people, haven't we, that we've trained over the years that, you know, we can see big changes in, and we say and go, no, I've not.
And it also depends how many changes they make in other areas as well. So like in their eating habits and other aspects of lifestyle. You know, if they're really like full on it, then yeah, they might see those changes a little bit quicker.
But talking technical for one second, Kate, you're off mic a little bit.
Am I sorry? Sorry, let me adjust. There we go.
Just getting the right. Yeah, that's it. That's a lot better. Yeah. Sorry about that. I won't edit that. That's
okay.
That's just the way it is.
I thought you were going to ask Jack a question then when you said technical.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, it can get addictive that you want results really, really quickly, right? Because
I think it's knowing your expectations, isn't it, as well? Managing them.
I've got a question for you related to the one that you just asked.
Go on, bud.
Right. Do you see results or do you see changes quicker by doing cardio or weights? What changes the quickest?
I think fitness probably comes first, would you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say if you're doing more cardio, you're probably talking kind of how quickly you get out of breath during your sessions, how quickly you recover would come first. Mm. Cardio is...
That's fairly quick, isn't it, really?
Generally the fastest thing to build up, whereas strength training, you're probably going to ache quite a lot for the first week?
Yeah.
2 weeks?
First few times you do the session, maybe. But then if you're, you know, if you're a newbie, you do notice strength gains pretty quick. But yeah, I reckon I'd say fitness is probably the first thing. Like, say that, oh, you know, I felt better carrying the shopping.
Yeah.
Or, you know, playing with the kids, going up the stairs. Yeah, that's usually, I reckon, the first thing we hear, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
So the answer to the first question is?
Depends on what you're after, I guess. What the results are.
It doesn't matter how hard you train for it, though, either, does it? Or does it?
Again, mate, context, I guess. It depends on what it is. Really, because didn't you had a question, actually, that was similar to that.
Can't remember now. I'll have a look.
It was a twice-a-day jobby, wasn't it?
Yes, that was it, yeah. Do you see quicker results if you train twice a day?
Yeah, again, I think it's context.
Right,
depends what your goal, what you're looking for. So it's for general population, probably you'd be better off with just one session. But if you're a competitive powerlifter, me and Jack were talking about this, if you're doing a method called the conjugate method, which Jack's tried, sessions can be upwards of 2.5 hours long. So you probably would be more beneficial splitting that into two if your lifestyle allowed it.
Right.
Yeah, we were talking a lot about that, about how it has to be able to fit into your lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's all well and good me saying, oh, you need to train for 2 hours, but
if you've got an hour on your lunch,
you might not have 2 hours.
Physically can't fit it in.
Yeah.
Then there's nothing to say you can't split it into 2 hour sessions. And there's also nothing to say that you need to train for that long. It just totally depends on your goals and what you need to achieve. And me and Mike were actually saying that for a lot of people, they think they need to go every day, when actually 3-4 times a week is ample. And in fact, sometimes training too much is detrimental. So you're doing too much, you're not recovering. And it goes back, I think we had a question on recovery as well.
I've got one.
But before we go on to that, you know, again, I'm going to quote, you know, The Rock Johnson, my hero.
Mm.
He's been on record a number of times, and you've probably heard it yourself, that he does this clanging and banging thing. So he does cardio in the morning, weights at night.
Yeah.
You know.
It's one of them. If you want to split your session up that way, you know, fine.
So is there a reason why he does that? Or some of the...
probably time.
Is it?
I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I think probably doesn't he train at like 4 in the morning?
4 in the morning, I think, yeah.
But I think that's mainly due to his schedule.
I think, yeah.
He'd then have to go off to work.
It's not because to look like that, you have to do that.
No.
That sort of thing.
Well,
for him.
Look at The Rock's diet as well.
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure he'll have his own chef making his meals. Yeah. So you take that into consideration, how much time he's saving. Obviously, he can afford that. Then on top of that, he's training really hard. So how many calories does he have to consume?
Yeah.
How hard is he working during his days? I mean, he's renowned for being one of the hardest workers in the world, isn't he?
Yeah.
So comparing The Rock's lifestyle and the way he trains to everyday people, there's just no comparison.
It's not comparable, is it, at all?
Yeah.
No. Right, let's do another question then.
Do you want one, Kate?
It's just a really, just opposite end of the scale, really, that someone spoke to me and said, I'm really nervous about going to the gym. I'm not confident at all because I don't know what to do and I don't know, you know, what I'm walking into. So and that's quite common. I can relate to that. I remember being nervous walking into a gym a few years ago. But a lot of people feel like that. I think, Mike, you mentioned something recently about
one of my best mates, funnily enough, speaking to him last night, and we were talking about him coming down and doing some sessions, etc. And you know, we were saying that it'd be better joining our group sessions as opposed to having one-to-one, just fine, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he actually mentioned that he was nervous about coming down to do the groups. So it's funny, you know, he's 6'4".
You wouldn't expect
so
a lot of people have that feeling about going into a gym. But what we pride ourselves on is making everyone feel at home. And And I know we're good at it because a lot of people have said it. And they feel comfortable and we make them feel at ease and we help them because all of our sessions are coach-led. So we can give people that attention and make them feel like, you know, they're doing okay and guide them through everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is, like I say, it is a challenge getting through the door. You know, we've had one of our members got walked to the door by her sister the first time she came in.
Yeah.
You know, she had to have someone there with her to get through the door. And it is daunting, you know.
Yeah, it is.
I think if I go into another gym that isn't our own,
yeah,
I don't know where certain bits of kit are. I don't know any of the members. No, I don't know if they're looking at me or what's going on.
I was just about to say, you know, my issue in a gym is trying an exercise for the first time.
Yeah.
Not trying for the first time or changing my routine. So when I like comfort zone. So I do what I do and I've done it for a long time. And then I have got to change it up. But then I look around and I go, they're all going to be looking at me because this is all new to me and I'm going to have a great big badge on my forehead that says, this is new, I'm doing something, you help me because I look like a fool. But it's not that though, is it?
No, because that's only you thinking that. Yeah. No, everyone else is busy doing their own sessions. So, yeah, you just got to get on and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so basically, don't be nervous. Just come and have a chat with us and we'll guide you through it all.
You've got to start somewhere.
You've got to start somewhere,
you know, and just go in and be honest, I feel. You know, so I've turned that around on the head in the gym. So I will go up to the bigger guys and go, mate, you look like you've been doing it for a long time. You're huge, you're hench. You know, make them feel better about themselves. And then go, give us an hand with this because this is all new to me.
Yeah.
And then that's how you break the ice, you break the conversation.
And that's okay. That's just asking for help. And that's okay to say, I don't know, can you help me?
Yeah.
It's just that first step, isn't
it?
Like, you know, and you found out, like, once you're hooked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can get a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was that one. But I thought that was a good one to do.
Yeah, I like that question.
Mm. Anything else?
Jackie boy.
Yeah, I'll ask the next one. I'll throw this one out to both Kate and Mike before I chip in. One of the questions we got was, what makes us different to other PTs? So,
all right,
what we offer?
I think I don't want to say makes us different. I only know a handful of PTs on a personal level, and the PTs I do know are very, very good. So I don't want to say that we're better or worse than other PTs, but I'll talk about what we're strong at.
Yeah,
what our ethos is. You know, we pride ourselves on making people leave feeling better than when they came in. We're not beast mode, kill yourself, go hard or go home, let's throw up.
No pain,
which we won't get into the throwing up thing.
Don't get into that.
I may or may not have made somebody sick the other day. It's the first time in a while.
It's the sign of a good session, I believe.
I'm not proud of that one.
Me and Kate paid for it.
Yeah, we did.
I think that, like, with us three, we generally care as well. You know, we actually... It sounds daft, but we generally do care about the people that we train. You know, they're not just with us for the 45 minutes. You know, it's a continual support, you know.
The support goes on. It's just it's not for that 45 minutes only. It's outside of that time as well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people actually feel, especially during sessions, and even maybe afterwards, that they can't ask certain questions or they don't want to. So we try and make ourselves as approachable as possible.
Mm.
But then also... if they want to just fire us a message afterwards, anyone can message us and we'll reply and we'll get back to them.
What's or if they want like to you come last night, us. Replying to messages at 12:30, even though you have to be up at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, but that's, I feel like that's part and parcel of being a really good personal trainer in anything, really. It's like, at the end of the day, if it's your business and what you do, you should really care about what you're trying to get across to people.
Yeah.
What I found... with you folks for Silk Fitness Therapy. Now, I, up until about a month ago, just over a month ago, I didn't know you. I didn't know anything about you. But I'm not saying this because this is a branded thing, but you are normal people. Do you know what that makes sense? Do you know what I mean by that?
No, yeah.
You are doing your journey, so you have got your own things, and you've told me about your own issues that you've dealt with. Kate, you've told me about yours.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Jack because I've only met him twice, but you've probably got your own issues, you've got your own things you're dealing with, so you are not, I'm going to do this on a podcast, you can't see me doing it.
Yeah.
What do you call that when you do that?
Inverted bunny ears. Commas.
Yeah, bunny ears in the air. You know.
No, Mike, they're inverted commas.
Bunny ears.
But, you know, you are normal people that can help other normal people.
We're not because just you have done it before.
You've been there and done it before.
Yeah, I think as well, like the one thing with us is we all aim to over-deliver.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we've always prided ourselves on, is actually over-delivering a service. It's not a case of, oh, I'm only getting paid for that 45 minutes. Like, that'll do. I'm just going to do 45 minutes of work. So we go a lot of, you know, go out of our way, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah, we go the extra mile for people. That's what it's about.
It's quite hard to beat yourself up, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It feels quite weird.
That's what we wanted to do, though, wasn't it? I mean, that's what we wanted to deliver that.
But I think we all do it naturally. I don't think for a second that we see a message and go, oh, I don't want to reply to that today. It's, all right, this person needs a bit of help. Yeah. I'll get back to them.
No,
and then hopefully
it.
We can make a bit of a difference, because that's one of the great things about doing this job in general, is you get to impact people on a daily basis. And I know a lot of people say it, but that is the best thing for me, is even if it's one person and you can turn around and say, actually, that made a real difference to that person, it's helped them, then that's enough for me, really.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah, and I think we've made really good friends with the people that we have coming to the gym. I consider them friends, really.
And
that's what we've
we definitely
set out to achieve.
Yeah, we do call it our weird family.
Yeah.
Our weird nutty family.
It is like having another family.
It is. I mean,
well, someone messaged on holiday, didn't they? They're on holiday at the moment.
Yeah.
And she messaged saying she was missing us, which was really nice, and she couldn't wait to get back. So yeah, that things like that are really lovely to hear, and that tells us that we're doing something right.
That's what it's about for us. Yeah. Like, it's you don't, if you get into the fitness industry on the basis of money, you're in the wrong game.
Yeah.
Right. You've got to do it because you love it.
Anyway.
Let's move on then. Do you want me to do one of mine?
Yeah, go for it.
Right, so let's have a quick look at this. Oh, this is a good one. This is regarding diet. So who wants to take this one on?
We'll all do it.
You'll all do it, right?
Yeah,
okay,
we'll do it, mate.
What's better for you? Is it low fat or low sugar products? So if you had to choose the one, so if you're going to do a low sugar diet and try and cut that out, or you're going to do a low fat diet and try and cut that out.
I know exactly what Mark's going to say on this one.
Oh, okay. Right.
Go on.
It depends.
You're banned
it's
from
all about
content.
Yeah. Right,
okay. I thought you were going to say I had to choose one. I was going to switch the mic.
You choose one then. Go on.
I don't think I could choose just one, mate. I really don't. I think it is. Why would you want? You shouldn't eliminate any food group, really. Sugar's not
bad for you. Yes, high fat is bad for you, isn't it?
No, not necessarily.
Oh yeah.
No.
Just to throw it out there, like a ketogenic diet, they follow 70% of their daily calories is fat.
Oh,
and
right.
People have been shown to improve their health markers by following a ketogenic diet. That is not to say that ketogenic is the best thing in the world, but it has worked for people. But then that goes back to the question again, that people, there's studies to show that people who have 10 grams of sugar compared to 100 grams of sugar a day, there is no difference in their health markers.
No.
So when we demonize like fats, I think it was when the Eat Well plate came out, fat got demonized a lot, and it was you should have most of it from carbohydrates. And then over the last few years, it started to change back around, and now we've started to reintroduce things back in.
Yeah, it's almost gone too far.
Yeah, I think everyone likes extremes, and they like hearing these over the top diets that are supposed trend diets.
Yeah.
When actually, if you could be as simple as make sure you eat the right amount of calories every day and eat your protein.
Would you? It's always been sugar versus fat, isn't it? It's always been that.
It shouldn't
be,
though, because if you're going to cut out sugar, that means you're cutting out fruits.
Yeah.
You know, fruits actually weirdly started to get a bad rap, didn't they?
I was told that not long ago. Cut down on my fruit because of the natural
sugars.
Because
the sugars in
the
fruit.
I think there are some, and I think there are some that they focus on more than others, aren't there? And that probably in relation to specific illnesses, diseases, whatever it is.
Yeah, again, it's context, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's also changeable.
The sugar was linked to diabetes.
Diabetes, yeah.
But that's people who are having maybe like 5-6 cans of full sugar Coke a day or Red Bulls, and it's, yes, that is unhealthy, but it's taking it out of context.
Whereas that's not moderate, that's abuse, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like my brother-in-law.
So what would your answer be to that then, Mike? Then? So low sugar versus low fat.
I thought I just answered it.
It depends on the context.
It does.
Yeah. If you're looking at getting, you know, more fat in your diet, have the high fat. Right, if you're looking at keeping your fats down, have the no fat.
Yeah.
So it's like I'll have in the morning a low fat yogurt because I like to store my fats up for later on in the day, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'll say.
Big fat tea.
Right,
yeah,
go on then.
Fat tea.
I'll let you do one then.
What are the best ways to recover after the gym? So we did touch on this a little bit anyway.
Yes.
Last week, wasn't it? We've got the basics. Make sure your nutrition's right. You said sleep before, didn't you, Darren? Which is
sleep.
Very,
sleep.
Very good way.
Yeah.
There's something we didn't really talk about last week, which I wanted to touch on, was breathing, really, wasn't it? We did do a little bit on it, but one of the methods that Jack touched on being getting yourself in a parasympathetic state, just your body being primed for recovery. So after you work out, trying to get in that parasympathetic state as early as possible, as quick as you can. So I can't think whose style it is, but they do box breathing. So as soon as you finish the session, you try and locate, you might not be able to see in a big commercial gym, but locate a quiet corner as early as you can. Lie on your back, feet elevated above your heart, head up a little bit, and 5 minutes of box breathing. So it'd be 3 seconds in, hold for 3 seconds, 3 seconds out, hold for 3 seconds, repeat for 5 minutes. And that's box breathing. That's meant to get your body in prime for recovery.
I'm fairly sure that's what they do for people who have heart attacks as well. Just
is it?
To throw that
out
there.
Yeah, it's a W position, isn't it?
Yeah. You lie people on the back and then elevate the arms and the legs. So it sends blood flow back to the heart.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
Right. That's what it is. Yeah.
Even though, I suppose, yeah, when you're training, you're getting more blood flow to your limbs. So if you then redirect it back towards your trunk area, then.
Yeah, how about Jack's opinion on that one?
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting. It helps people calm down as well, because obviously, I mean, this is really out of context. I'm not saying people are going to have heart attacks, but when people do, obviously they panic and they start to, rush
their
breathing.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, the old way of breathing in like a brown paper bag, isn't it, or something. Breathing in and out and controlling your breathing slow and steady.
Yeah, I think, breathing definitely for recoveries.
Yeah, we touched on a bit on yoga last week, didn't we? And that's, we've done ones where you have to breathe in for a count of six, hold for a count of three, then out for a count of six, and it's really hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
When you're feeling a bit uptight, it's super hard to do that, and it can take you a good 5-10 minutes just to get into that. But that's just showing how much people hold tension in their bodies and how much they don't relax. And then you've got to then go and try and get into a position to go and sleep at night time as well, and people can't switch off. So like last night, I don't think I slept at all because I was literally on my phone at 12:30 staring at my screen. Like,
you need to do some meditation, Jack. We'll discuss it later.
What do you reckon?
Also, to aid recovery, then intake of water.
Yeah,
yeah.
Make sure you're hydrated.
Yeah.
Usually, Jack's taking a big swig of water.
Yeah. I think sleep.
Before and after, but sleep is really important.
Number one, really, isn't it, for recovery?
Yeah.
Sleep. What do you reckon? If I had to do a pyramid. Sleep, nutrition.
Sleep, nutrition.
Volume in the gym.
Yeah, training volume. Hey, but you could keep it that simple, to be honest.
Don't sleep. Overthink it.
Yeah.
Want to recover, get some sleep in.
Yes.
If you've got young kids.
Don't talk to
you're
me.
Doomed.
About that.
You're doomed.
Right. Do you want to do another one, or shall I do another one?
Go on, mate. You go,
go
for
on.
It.
Okay. Right. So, what's the best way to, or what should I do? This is not me. This is the person who's texted in. For the very first step. Very, very. This person has not exercised ever, and she is struggling with the weight. But she said, "What's the very first thing I need to do? Is it start the diet or start the training program?"
Personally, I'd say increase your energy expenditure. Just get moving more.
So don't worry about the food just yet. Just move
pick,
a bit more.
pick one thing that's achieved, like we said on the goals one, give yourself mini wins. So I'd probably say like something that's very, very achievable is just to increase your movement.
Yeah, get moving.
I reckon if you go all in with nutrition for someone that's completely new to it, that's gonna, it's too many things in one
it's
go.
Too much to think about.
Don't use all your tools.
Yeah.
Where's your shed analogy?
Your shed. Yeah, it's my new analogy. Yeah, just start with one tool at a time.
Oh, I like that.
I like that. Yeah. I like that too. Yeah, just baby steps.
Yeah, I'd say increase.
Pick one thing and just do that little bit first.
Build on habits. Yeah.
Yeah, give yourself a win.
Yeah.
So I'd say increase your movement. Once you've done that, keep that habit, and it goes back to the habit
and
stacking.
And the movement doesn't have to be in a gym, does it? It could be going
taking the stairs. Yeah. You know, to give yourself a step goal, which I think is important really for everyone anyway. And then once you've done that, keep that habit and don't get rid of it, but then add a new one in.
Yeah.
And then stack the habits like we talked about the James Clear book,
was
Atomic
that the first
Habits.
One that we talked about?
Third,
that?
I think.
Third one.
Yeah.
Keep building
them. Add habits in, but then think about what habits you want to take out as well.
Then again, the first thing to do is write everything down, what you're eating and what you're doing. So then you can look back and go, right, I need to change that. Yeah. I need to...
Yeah, I guess evaluate what you're doing now, yeah.
Yeah.
That gives you accountability.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the main thing. Because a lot of people don't even realise what they do on a day-to-day basis. Mm. They just do it.
Especially eating.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Food, what people put in their mouths. It's
without even thinking about it.
Exactly, without even thinking.
And if you could ask someone, they went, right, well, say you had like a Mars bar for your dinner. How many calories was in it? How many people could really answer what they had? But it's all those little things that add up, and you wouldn't even consciously think about it.
Yeah. So like one average size chocolate bar, normal snack bar from over the shop, is not all that calorific, is it? But then if you have that, add it to anything else that you have, and add it that to something else, then suddenly your calorie intake has gone from okay and gone way over.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of if it's a bite-sized one or a duo. Well,
obviously a duo.
Obviously a duo. A duo.
Yeah, you get two in one pack. They're
always on offer as well.
Yeah.
Do you want to do one then?
You got one?
Yeah, Jack's got one, haven't you?
Yeah, so the question is, I have an injury. Can you adjust your sessions for me, is what the person's put. And do you have any advice of how you train around it? Or what sort of rehab you can do for that. So to answer the initial question, you can train around injuries, depending on what the injury is. If you've broken your leg, I wouldn't suggest going into the gym too much. But let's say you've got a muscle strain of your quad, there's nothing stopping you actually training around it, but you have to appreciate where you're at in the recovery stage. And actually the worst thing for people to do often is to sit and do nothing. Because we need blood flow around the body to help start the recovery process. I think I covered it last week, but the initial 48 hours, rest it, and then after that you can start kicking on, start moving it, start stretching it, do a bit of strength work on it. Because injury is such a broad topic, it's very hard to cover certain things like fractures. You're not going to go and weight bear on a broken foot, for example. You need to go to your doctors or the hospital, go and get a scan. But in terms of your general everyday things, so lots of people turn up with back pain.
I was going to mention that. What's the first thing that a doctor will tell you if you've got backache? Keep moving.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Don't lie on your back.
A lot of them just prescribe painkillers.
Yeah.
Which is the worst thing for you.
Mask it.
Yeah, mask the pain and then you make it worse anyway. And it goes back to looking at what you do on a daily basis. So why have you got that injury in the first place? Was it being a bit silly and lifting a little bit too much in the gym? Which, by the way, is actually quite rare. People don't tend to injure their backs that often in the gym.
Oh, right.
It tends to be more of an inactivity problem where the muscles aren't being worked enough. Because if you do strength training over time, you adapt and you get stronger. So I mean, there's been a big thing at the moment about kids training and learning the movement patterns as they grow up. And when they then get into adulthood, they've already adapted themselves to these stresses. Mm. So they're like bulletproof by the time they get to adults. But I know definitely in our generation, it was, well, for my generation, I'm 25, it was kids don't lift heavy weights.
Stunts the growth.
It stunts growth.
Yeah, I remember going to the gym for the first time at my school. I would have been about 15. And they've said, you're not allowed on those weights, study gym. It's only for the school leavers. That gym is there. You can't lift any of those because you'll be all deformed and you'll be hunched over. And what?
Yeah. Isn't it funny?
Yeah. And now it's just a complete lie, be honest. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they were lying or whether they were just very ill-informed, but there's certain things like that. We've learned a lot over the last few years about what the benefits of exercise are, and then you don't get injured. I've seen kids, it's crazy, like I've seen kids that can deadlift 200 kilos.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
At 14, 15. It's insane.
Yeah. I've got to give a shout out to Jason at 5S across the road from here.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Some of the things that he's doing with the kids that he trains, phenomenal.
Really?
Absolutely incredible. Yeah, really is. And that's getting them training right from an early age. And like Jack said, is he 14?
Charlie, I think he's 15 now.
200 odd kilo deadlift. Yeah.
I think he was deadlifting 200 at 14.
Unbelievable.
Whoa. And there's Alfie as well. He's broken British records for Olympic lifting.
Yeah.
And how old is he?
I think he's similar age.
It's similar, isn't
14, 15 as well.
Wow.
But they've been taught from probably, I'm guessing, 11 years old, maybe.
That's a good question. So is there an age where you shouldn't start lifting weight?
I wouldn't say strap weights on like a 6-month-old child. No, yeah. Right?
No, yeah.
Well, my point of view on that is you have a thing called peak height velocity. Basically, it's where you're, when you grow in, you hit puberty, it's where you have a spike and you grow the most. During that period, you have to be very careful with your weight training. You do have to do it, but as soon as people hit peak height velocity, after that, you can blast your weight training. So it's been able to recognise when you're getting problems. So Osgood Slatters, for example, a little conditioning in the knee, that is very common, especially in people who play a lot of sports, which is basically inflammation of the patella tendon. I won't go into it too much. But what's the point I was making?
You got to be careful with kids.
Yeah.
Peak velocity.
That was it. So maybe edit that bit.
Yeah, you're making me work now.
Nah, leave it in.
Yeah, I'm leaving it in. Just spite it.
Yeah, it's not making just me.
But going back to peak high velocity, that can happen between around the ages of 11 to 15, 16 in some cases. So some kids, it takes them a long time to get to that point. But then some, it can happen at 11 years old. Mm. So you get these kids that are maybe like 6 foot at 11 years old, they can weight train, they can get on it. So even though they're ready. You know, some of them come across quite like gangly and out of control, and then all of a sudden they start doing a bit of weight training, they gain that control, they learn the movement patterns, so like your hinges, your your squats, your lunges, all those sorts of things, and then they just become beasts over the teenagers.
My 14-year-old son, who's actually called Jack, right?
Good name.
He's 6 foot something or other, right? He's just over 6 foot, and he's 14.
Where did they get that from?
Not from me. not from my ex-wife either. But I'm going to get him in the gym because I want him to be the next Terry Crews. Yeah, so he's going to be a big lad, hopefully.
Yeah, it's making sure as well you know the coaches that are taking the sessions know what they're... identify when they could be building on dysfunction, building on issues, make sure the training's correct.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to start giving
habits.
These bad habits. These habits are very hard to break.
Yeah.
Let's do another question. Okay. I've got
you
one.
You got one? Yeah, go for it. No, you go for it, buddy.
Right, so the... Was it gone? Hang on. Right, so the question is, protein shakes, are they for a quick meal on the go or not? Can you when you're busy, can you just use them?
Yeah.
So you can have that as a meal.
Not in supplement. I don't want to say supplementation, but with a balanced diet anyway. Yeah, they can be a great tool to use. You know, I use protein shakes probably on a pretty much a daily basis. use them to help bump up my protein intake, like say as a quick snack.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, if we're in between sessions and just need something, quick protein shake, mm-hmm. super convenient. My thing at the minute is the protein squeezy yogurts.
Yeah, no, really.
Oh man, unbelievable.
Oh, I saw those in the fridge.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So it's strawberry. Squeeze like being a kid, but getting 20 grams of protein in there.
So yes,
yeah, he actually spilled it down in this afternoon.
Well, not
as well.
I would say not ideally as a meal replacement.
Right.
I'm going to put that out there because
no, don't replace a meal
with
a shake, but shakes can be used in adjacent. That's what I'm looking for.
Alongside
your
healthy diet.
Yeah, alongside a healthy
balanced.
Diet. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to get whey protein, aren't they? Classified as a superfood.
Are they?
Not as a supplement. Crazy. This might be in the States, but I'm pretty sure they're trying to get classified as a superfood.
Hmm.
Again, could be wrong. I didn't check that before I came in.
Don't quote me
on that.
No, there's still more research to be done on that.
You can if you want, it's a superfood.
Well, that goes back to that whole gimmicky, superfood thing.
Oh, yeah, that kind of died out, didn't it, that really?
Well, you know, bananas are a superfood. Eggs are a superfood, I believe.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
We just need
ice cream to be a superfood or something like that. Oh, bit of Ben and Jerry's, that'd be a superfood.
Yeah. Right, anything else?
I've only got one more.
Okay, cool.
It was just, I'm looking to get into powerlifting, where do I start? I think when they say powerlifting, I think they mean actually competitive, I'm guessing.
Or like on a stage?
Not on a stage, powerlifting in terms of a squat, bench, deadlift.
Right.
Judging off the person that asked it, I'm assuming that's what they meant. So what I would recommend is following the Northwest Powerlifting Federation. So you find them on Facebook and Instagram. They've got loads of great upstart events. You know, really, really well-run organisation. Website's got loads of frequently asked questions. Yeah, really, really helpful. I would recommend hiring a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Takes all the stresses off you, the external stresses. They can also help you along the way with what to expect actually on the day. There's a lot of things that people don't realise that happen on the day. Making sure your warm-ups are timed correctly, your nutrition's timed correctly. Things can change like that as well. Selecting what weights you're going to do, depending off how your first attempts go. So yeah, I'd recommend hiring a coach and just getting started.
Yeah.
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 Just start lifting.
And don't rush it either. Mm. Don't assume that you can go from benching 60 kilos to 120 kilos in 6 months.
No.
Just make it your goal. Have little mini wins, like we said before.
I think that first comp is, just go. Don't think you're going to place or you're going to win. Just go in, enjoy it. Because one thing I will say with powerlifting is the community is incredible. So helpful, super supportive. On the day, everyone's just, the atmosphere at powerlifting competitions is incredible. Because I think you want to do one soon, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go, Jack's entering the competition. We're going to throw that out there now.
I'm good friends with Eddie Hall.
No way.
The Beast. Yeah, he's from the neck of the woods where I'm from.
Oh, man.
He's from Stoke, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah, see, now so, Eddie, that's strongman.
Yeah.
So that's another awesome sport.
Is that not the same as
powerlifting? No.
Okay.
So powerlifting is squat, bench, deadlift. Nice. You get three attempts on each.
Okay.
And then it's your total weight. For all three attempts gives you a number, then they can base it off your weight and give you a Wilkes score, or I think they change it now to IPF points, which is really, really complicated and annoying. Wilkes was so much better. But strongman is more a mix of strength and cardiovascular, isn't it? You know, when they do like the tire what's the word I'm looking for here?
Tire flipping,
the log pulls. Pressing, truck pulls. Where you know
superhuman stuff.
With powerlifting it's three skills: squat, bench, deadlift.
Right.
Well, I remember doing an event in Preston. It was Preston Strongman, and they had an amateur category and an open category. I think the open category, they had to deadlift 300 kilos for maximum reps.
I remember you told us about this.
Absolutely insane. Like 300 kilos. If you were doing a powerlifting competition and you deadlifted 300 kilos once, a lot of people would be very happy with that. These guys were hitting 12, 13, 14 reps, and they're amateurs, a lot of them as well. They were just superhuman. And then it's not just that, they then have to go and do other events. So they then have to go and do their truck pull. They then have to go and do, it's like a sandbag carry where they have to run back, grab a sandbag, go and load it into a truck.
Did they ever get that muscle fatigue and they feel like, oh, I can't do this now?
Yeah.
Not going to lie, a lot of them were pretty much injured when they turned up. Their list of injuries was very long. So don't go into it thinking that you're not going to get any problems, because you probably will.
No, that's one thing I would say about the powerlifting side of it as well. It can get monotonous.
Yeah.
You know, just squat. I know Kate saw me like towards the last few weeks before my comp, and I'd had enough of deadlifts. Yeah. I'd had enough of deadlifting. I didn't want to squat anymore. Benching I hate anyway. And then after the comp, I don't think I deadlifted for 6 weeks. I've only just started rack pulling again now, second week in, just because it does get quite boring.
Yeah.
Depending on how long you prep for, but yeah, the actual experience on the day is awesome. It really is. It's good fun.
And that's going back to not rushing. Yeah. Don't rush. Really think, if you're having a hard time squatting and you're in pain, I know Mike had a few problems with his hip. Don't try and push it, unless obviously you're going for a competition, then you kind of need to think about what you can do to work around it. But if you've got a big long-term goal, drop it back for a bit. You can always replace swap exercises in and out and still get strong.
Yeah, and that goes back to working around injuries, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah. So there's nothing to say that you couldn't switch out squats, let's say, for hack squatting, or
I chucked in belt squats.
Yeah,
that
leg
was
press.
A great one. Took the load off my back.
Lunges.
Heavy sled pushes.
Yeah.
There's loads.
Cool. We'll
keep going.
Yeah, sweet.
Right, so I believe that's a wrap, is it?
That's my last one. Have we got any more?
Well, only going back to a couple of people have messaged us this week about membership that we offer and what's included in it.
Cool. So let's do that then.
So we offer monthly membership, which is £85 a month, and that's unlimited group sessions. We've got about five or six a day to choose from. They're all coach led. They are all programmed, pre-planned. What else, Mike? They're 45 minutes long. They are the strength sessions.
We run a mixture of hit cardio sessions and strength sessions spread throughout the week. I think one of the main things for us is as well is when people hear that we're £85 a month, it kind of makes people go,
But
it's the fact we're not a gym.
Yeah.
We are a personal training facility. So whereas if you're going for a one-to-one personal training, you'd be paying £40-£50 an hour, depending on what area you're in.
Yeah.
Whereas with our coach-led sessions, it's 1 to 6 people. So there's never any more than 6 per group. So you still get the full attention of the coaches. And like I said, it's not just for that 45 minutes. You get our continual help and support throughout your journey. We do offer a 6-week Kickstarter program for £99. For that, you get full access to the small group sessions. I think if you did on the 99, if you did 3 a week, it works out £5.50 a session for personal training. If you did 5 a week, obviously it brings the price right down.
Yeah.
So for personal training, that is cheap. But we also value the service that we provide.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And we have like quite a good referral network as well, because we all have our own little specialities to go to. So if someone walks in the door and said, look, I want to, you know, get into powerlifting, let's say, then we've got Mike. If someone wanted to come in, had questions on diet, I would definitely send them to Kate, because she knows what she's on about. She knows a lot more about vegetarian, vegan diets than I do.
Well,
I actually learned a lot about eggs this week.
Eggs, you did, didn't you? Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then anyone that was looking for sports therapy work, rehab work, strength conditioning, we've got Jack on board.
Yeah.
So we do also, we all have our areas of expertise, but we all fall under the same banner of beliefs of just making people feel better.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice one. Contact details. How can people get in touch with you?
Instagram, we are at SFT Macclesfield. You can email us on info@silkfitnesstherapy.com. If you want to get in touch with any of us directly, it's just our name, Mike, Kate or Jack, at silkfitnesstherapy.com. Our Facebook page is Silk Fitness Therapy. Jack also has Jack... What's your thing?
It's Jack Draper Sports Therapy. All one word, all lowercase. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Not on Twitter, so I don't really like it that much. Get in contact.
So Jack is currently offering as well, just before we finish, that he's offering 25% off your initial treatment.
Yes.
Fabulous.
And if you are a member at Silk Fitness Therapy, you also get 10% off all treatments. So a nice little bonus for all the members.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right, so that's a wrap then.
Yeah.
That's it. We're all done for this series. And the series will be on our website for the rest of eternity, as long as I'm here at Silk anyway, because I look after the website.
So sorted.
Right, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you very much,
mate.
And I've enjoyed it. Take care.
See you later.
Thank you.